This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
I cannot believe that.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Da-dum. Good morning! It is a good morning, Tuscaloosa! 25 more, buddy. Welcome in! This is The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com. Hanging out with you in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios on a Friday. Hopefully, you guys are looking forward to a great weekend. We are looking forward to an elite weekend right here on the Joe Gaither Show with Bama Central. You guys are watching us on the Bama Central Facebook page, on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're checking us out on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon, your favorite podcast platform. You can find us right there. Go ahead, subscribe, rate, review the show. Tell us all about how much you love it. Send the show to a friend. As we continue to grow, the back-end numbers say that you are sharing it with your friends. So I appreciate that so much. And we're going to have a lot of fun here on a Friday with Mason Woods. Follow Mason Woods at @MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. We're going to spend, obviously, most of our time with Alabama basketball defeating BYU last night, 113-88.
Did more than defeat BYU.
Jeez Louise, demoralized.
Is AJ DeBonta reconsidering his decision now, or is that $7 million still talking to him?
I mean, you saw his face, right?
He did not look happy.
He was okay. Well, that's a perfect place to start. Do you obviously the motivation of keeping your season alive is the number one motivation. We're not superseding that. Not at all. Sure. Like, we're not going to be silly. But where in the hierarchy in Nate Oates' mind is, we want to embarrass these jokers so that, not AJ, but I want to stick it to AJ's daddy, who signed with BYU weeks before they made the announcement and thought we were still in there, that sort of thing. Okay, AJ, innocent child. Innocent, you know, spare the kid. How, where in the hierarchy of, I want his daddy to think, dang it, I might have made the wrong choice.
When do we think Nate Oates learned that he was going to be there? Do you think that he had someone showing him the tweets from AJ being like, hey, coach, just FYI, you know, let you know? Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure he put it out on like Monday or Tuesday that he was going to be there.
I think that coach was probably motivated as soon as the draw was happening.
It didn't even matter.
Right. And then when he saw he's coming, it's like even
the
better.
Icing on the cake.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like you said, winning the game, advancing, keeping your season alive was obviously priority one through probably priority 10. But the very next one, hey, let's stick it to these Cougars. Let's stick it to BYU. Let's stick it to Mr. DeBonta. Show him exactly why he should not have done us the way that he did us. Man.
It's fine to take the bag, Ace DeBonta. Awesome. Perfectly fine. Yes. But y'all did it in a really dirty way.
Such an icky, like, I don't know, very... felt very just like an unethical way to handle things. I'll put it that way.
So you got your comeuppance for that.
Yes, you did. At this point, I mean, you know, obviously I don't think that there's really, you know, I think that decision's probably pretty locked in at this point.
Yes,
obviously. But man, the voice in the back of his head has to be saying, you know, man, is that what it's going to be like when I get here?
I hope the money's worth it,
man. It better be. Might be. Hey, because look, you're going right to the NBA.
That nice car. I hope that nice dorm room is worth it.
I don't know, Chief.
Those pretty Mormon ladies are worth it.
Man, oh man, that was, really just an absolutely dominant performance from the Tide. Pretty much perfect from top to bottom. I've got a few qualms. I think, you know, Nate Oates highlighted some things that he had some issues with after the game. Some things during the game he had some problems with, but.
Why don't you go there? Because I have a hard time digesting last night's game. I'll be honest, you can start with some of your qualms, and then that way I can formulate how I want to say it. Because it was great. It was great, yes. But like there is a larger than 20% part of me that's like, I don't know if I liked that that much. So go ahead and I'll tell you why.
My biggest issue is just, and I love you, Cliff. You're great on the, you're great offensively, but man, you are soft on the defense. You're just soft down there. 6 rebounds and you're 2 inches taller than every person on the court. That's not, that's inexcusable. You should not be getting out rebounded by anybody. You should be dominating the glass on both ends. You know, you had some nice offensive boards at times. I saw you fighting down there, but then you just get down to the defensive end, and like we've been saying all year, you just kind of look lost. I don't, it's just, I don't know. I need him to just play to hit the size that he has, play to the strength that he has. I don't know. He just, he is a little too cute with it on the defense, and he's soft down there. I don't, that's really the nicest way I can put it, is that he just plays soft on the defensive, on the defensive glass. I loved what I saw from the guards. I thought they were, you know, solid. I did, you know, BYU obviously got to put up a lot of shots, but I thought when they were shooting as poorly as they did, just keep forcing them into those shots. You know, I mean, it, if they fall, sure, we'll switch it up, but if they continue to miss, let's just keep letting them do it. So I don't really have an issue with them, you know, with BYU getting up as many threes as they did. I thought, you know, Alabama did a good job attacking them at the perimeter. I was just, I was really, really impressed with the offense. Obviously, the 25 of 51 is not a sustainable performance, I don't think. That's probably not something you'll be able to recreate, but I don't think it's crazy to think that this team can continue to shoot well. You know, I don't think, again, 25 threes is not the standard, but you have another game where you shoot between 40 and 50%. I don't think that's insane. I think you could absolutely recreate that type of performance against Duke. I was very, very impressed with this team last night. They just looked really, really good. Everything, it felt like everything clicked for them. I see that my camera is not working now.
Yeah, let me double check my audio. You say hello one real quick.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, they hear you.
Well, that's all that matters then.
You good with your qualms? You want me to take over while you look at your camera real quick?
Yeah, my biggest issue is with Cliff Amore, and I think you're going to take a similar route. Nope. With a different player.
Okay, yeah, there is. Yes, yes, yes. But, all right, I'm watching the game last night. I know the system. I know it's get to the rim, it's wide open threes, it's get to, I grasp that. The first half is awesome, and I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. But about, so you missed the first two or three. Oh, I can see the shot chart right here. I can see the shooting right here. Shooting right there. Bam, 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 bam. Shooting, threes only. Thank you right there. I love you, Stat Broadcast. You missed your first two threes today. And okay, whatever. Then Mark hits. Youngblood misses again. And so you are one of your first four. No problem. That's normal. And you're playing normal offense, in my opinion. You look sort of normal. And then you get a stretch where from 1550, yeah, to 1356, you go 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row. It's LeBaron, Aiden Sherrell, and Mark Sears. Mm-hmm. 4 in a row. And it was like, oh, shoot. I know the system. I know the guys are capable of shooting. But you hit these 4 in a row, and I thought to myself, that's about to be what's the opposite of a blessing in disguise? That's about to be too good to be true. Sure. That's about to be too good to be true, right? And the guys just start boom, jacking shots up. It goes, you go, Holloway miss at 1331. Sears, this is all threes. Sears make it 1256. Holloway miss at 24. Youngblood miss at 12. Stevenson miss at 33. Holloway make it 13. I mean, it just becomes a bombardment. Gosh. The first half, where's my split home stats right there? First half. You end up shooting 27 three-pointers in the first half. And at one point, you're like 12 of 20 or something. And so I'm thinking, so okay, all right. I love 113 to 108. I love the system. I understand and appreciate it, but there is still something in me, child of the 90s, who thought, can we get to the rim? Can we please get to the rim? Can we please go to the rim first? Because, I mean, all right, it's working. I'm seeing the shots fall. I'm seeing you go under the screens, BYU. I'm seeing you mix in a little zone defense, BYU, to protect the paint. I'm seeing this. And I'm seeing, oh, look at the dead-gum shot chart. Some of these shots are from 50 feet away. Okay, not really. 24.
Sears, there was at least one he took straight up from the logo.
Right. And so I am seeing BYU do some things defensively to encourage the three-point shot. But I'm also seeing Alabama lean into the three-point shot. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the first half, that was 44%, 12 of 27. Like, absurd. Amazing. You ended up with, 53 points in the first half? Right? So. 51. 41, 50, 40 to 51. And I'm thinking, wow, that's amazing. Let me go get my halftime snack, let the dog out. And I'm thinking, I hope that Nate is figuring out some way to get to the hoop, to get to the rim. And this is just my own, like, pet peeve. This is my own this is not a legitimate complaint. I mean, I guess
at the end of the day, we're talking about a win,
right? We're talking about a win, a historic win, a win where you break a 30, 40 year old, 50 year old, well, 92, right? Was that what it was? 91, 90, wasn't it? So that's 40 year record, right? 35 year record that you're breaking. That's a great win, but I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, we need to get to the rim. The threes, this is not a sustainable percentage. You ended up with the rim for the night, 5 of 7 from layups, 2 of 3 from dunks, so you're 7 of 10. Your percentage is great.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? Hey.
And so Nate addresses this in the postgame, and every time a question like this comes up and gets thrown to Nate, I think of the movie Mean Girls. I think of Mean Girls. If you never watched it, Lindsay Lohan pretends to be the silly ditzy girl to mix in with the other popular girls, but she's actually really smart. And she's what is she really smart at? Not history, not science. It's math. There's a couple math scenes in that movie. I don't remember what the question was, but her answer is the limit does not exist. Mm-hmm. The limit does not exist. All right, is her answer in the movie. And so the guy asks, "Hey, coach, on a night like tonight, blah 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 blah." Yeah, he asks the guys first. Y'all shot 70-something% of your three of your field goal attempts from three. Usually, y'all around 40 to 52. And Aiden and the guys are all like, "Oh yeah, that just worked out." And so it gets thrown to coach. What's the ideal number? How many attempts do you want to have? And he basically, without saying the line, the limit does not exist. he essentially gives you the limit does not exist. He says, oh, we put the system is the system, and it searches for the best shot. It searches for the most efficient shot. And he outlines it right there. He goes, free throw at the rim, and then kick out three. Well, at the rim, uncontested, and then kick out three. But then they're going under screens. And like, if you're going under screens and you look at the way they defend, sagging off and this, that, and the other, we kind of knew we were going to get a lot up tonight. Cha-cha-cha. It just was what it was. And once it started falling, I just let it go. And so it's like, this makes me say, Joe, remember, the next basketball game you coach will be your first. And so as I'm sitting there at halftime being like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. And the other part of me is like, I don't think they can keep shooting this way. There's no chance, right? I'm sitting, I texted you. I texted a couple other people, be like, that is obscene. That was absurd. That was, and it makes me think about the game, the John Petty year down at LSU, John Petty, Josh Primo year, where they just shot like 23, 24, 25 threes in that game too. And I did the same thing. I just thought, this is stupid. This is not going to keep going. And it did down at LSU. I thought, there's no way. The issue that I took was not taking all the threes. It was as the guys started realizing, oh, this is working, it was they would come down the floor and one pass three-point shot, which ultimately worked.
You're still making a lot of them.
Who cares? It worked. But like for me, I was thinking, oh, at least we get into the paint a little bit more. And like, if you want to shoot that three, kick it on out. Mm-hmm. That's a nitpicky complaint. That is a dumb complaint. That is, Joe, you are not a smart person.
I get where you're coming
just
from.
Just take a step back and enjoy the win, buddy.
But yes, just take a step. You said it yourself. Like, you were still 70% from inside the paint. Like, you were still great. It's not like it wasn't working getting in the paint. You you still had a lot of success when you did it. You just didn't have to because all of your threes were falling. It was that stretch where I think Mark came down, hit one. They went down, BYU traded, came down, Aiden hit one. It was just da, 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 da. It was like a tennis match, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You didn't have to get the ball inside. And you just, plain and simple, you just didn't have to. The threes just continued to fall. Had there been a moment or a stretch where you went, you know, 0 for 6, back to back to back to back, then you maybe get the ball inside. And, like, it worked when they did. Cliff, what did Cliff finish with? I know he had a lot of free throws, but he was still, what, like 2 of 3 inside or something like that?
Amori, 2 of 4, 10 points, 6 of 6 from the line.
Hey, I'll take it, 50%. Grant Nelson was able to find some success down there. So you were still scoring inside pretty much at will. You had the size advantage, you had the strength advantage down there. I just don't think you had to get down there. Against Duke, you probably will, because again, this 50% free 3-point shooting probably won't hold up. But man, like Nate said, like the players said, it's just the way it worked out.
Aiden says, as he's asked about it, he looks over at the panel is Aiden, Chris Youngblood, and Mark Sears. He looks over at Mark and Aiden. He goes, he kind of head nods to both ways. When these guys are open, and head nods, when these guys are open on the 3-point line, we basically think that's a layup.
Oh, amen.
Excuse me, Joe. We don't need to go inside, you joker. We don't need that.
Dr. Naismith rolled over in his grave when he heard that answer.
You silly boy.
Oh, I know. I heard the announcer say at least one time, like, you know, talking about if the founders of basketball could, if the peach baskets could see this kind of game, like, just the way that this sport has evolved. That was like a perfect culmination of it last night. It was beautiful.
You know what? James Naismith would love it.
He probably would, you know,
because the real basketball heads love it, because this is the most efficient way to play. And if I were James Naismith, I would want to see my game played the most efficient way possible. James Naismith might argue to erase that 3-point line and to like really change the game back up. Cool. Great. That's a different argument. But while that 3-point line is on the floor, this is the most efficient way to play. Sorry.
We need to just create a non 3-point league for the old people to watch and enjoy. You know, we can have our fun 3-pointer basketball. And
hey, Mark hit it. First basket for Mark Sears last night, a 14-footer from the baseline, mid-range Mark.
True, very true. Mark was incredible. That was the Mark Sears that Bama fans know has been there, that we've just been missing for the last 2 weeks and change. He was, man, that was. Maybe his best performance in a crimson uniform?
Yes.
I guess a white uniform, but you know.
maybe, yes. I'm not saying yes fully because I can't think of other. I mean, obviously,
good ones.
Clemson last year stands out to me.
10 for 16 from three he was last night.
With eight assists, only three turnovers, three rebounds. He got himself three steals. So you washed your turnovers out with steals, 3 and 3. All right, great job, brother. Like, okay. 2 of 2 from the free throw line. So, Mason, I'm driving in today, and I was on the no category before last night because, oh, no, the bar for this is too high. But, no, this morning I'm walking in. Mark Sears in 3 weeks – or I guess next November, so whatever that is, you got to retire his jersey.
Oh yeah,
you have to.
I think so.
Like I was on that. No, you haven't done enough. No, that bar needs to be higher. Come on, we need to expect the upper echelon. I mean, it's only Wendell Hudson right now in the rafters for breaking the color barrier.
Sure.
Like, hello, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Progressive and a really good player. Like a really good player.
I mean, you ask anybody, he's one of the greatest players to ever come through this program.
So, like, so he's the only one. And so I'm thinking, like, what does it take to put yourself up there? And people, a couple years ago, Brandon Miller, 1 year and done. No.
definitely not.
Sorry. Love you, Brandon.
You were awesome.
Good fun year. And like then you get the, well, what about Herb Jones, real Alabama guy? And it's like, yeah, Herb has some accomplishments, but his accomplishments aren't really any greater than Robert Horry's, than, you know, like there's he's in comparable class.
Yes.
To retire a jersey has to be the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. And I feel icky saying this because it's like, man, Joe, are you sure? Sorry, after last night, sign me up. I don't care what happens on Saturday. I'm sorry. I don't care what happens on Saturday with Mark Sears. Like, yes, I would love to win, of course. And if he does win, if they do win, this argument is even stronger. But even going into Saturday's game, let's just throw out a loss, throw out a win. I don't care which side you want to take. I'm retiring Mark Sears' jersey.
He's led the program to two of their three Elite Eight appearances, their only Final Four appearance. Like, he has done things that no one else has ever done. And I think that should be your bar for retiring a player, for honoring a player like that should be, all right, this guy did something no one else in this program ever did. That's what Mark Sears has done.
It's nuts, man. He was, what, like, terrible three-point shooting in the SEC tournament. Not really that good down the stretch of the season. They said last night he was shooting 14%. I don't know what the time period was, but there was recently, the last couple weeks, I don't know like where that starts and ends.
Sure.
14%. And I mean, I didn't want to ask him this, but I asked him after the SEC tournament. Oh, perfect. I asked Katie was texting me about something. I asked him after the SEC tournament, what is, you know, what's going to take? Is your shot off? And he acknowledged it. Yeah, I mean, he gave a canned answer. We're going to just get back to work, yada, yada, yada. I'm sure that they did get back to work, obviously. But 10 of 60. He missed the first one, right? Yeah, he missed one at 18:35. And then the next one. Yeah, he made the next one, two, five in a row before missing.
Sheesh.
So,
the whole team, you know, Sears was 10 for 16, Youngblood 5 of 11, even Terrell got involved, Holloway got 6 of his own.
Well, I'll ask you, I see that on Twitter going out last night, was it Jeff Goodman maybe? This version of Alabama, KSR, Matt Jones. This version of Alabama is unbeatable. A hot Alabama is unbeatable. You give me this Mark Sears. Like, you haven't had this Mark Sears the whole last month.
Yeah.
Even against, like, thank you, mid-range Mark down in Neville. Thank you, Father, stretch my hand. But you've got a month worth of not-so-hot Mark Sears against really top-tier competition.
Exactly.
You give me this Mark Sears on Saturday. Hell, I'll roll that dice against the Duke Blue Devils.
Absolutely. I think, that's a perfect way to put it. A hot Alabama can beat anybody. I think this, Duke is just about as close to a perfect college basketball team as you can get. Obviously, I know they have been fantastic this year. Cooper Flagg is sensational. Con Canepa was great. They've got a plethora of extremely good players. But this version of Alabama, the version that you saw last night against BYU, they are impossible to defend. You can't defend that.
No Cameron Crazies in Newark on Saturday.
You can't defend 25 of 51 from three.
Especially when it's like, oh, we're going to get up on them. Oh, we'll just take another step back. Another step back. It's fine. Another step further back.
It's impossible to climb climb out of that deficit.
And
it just continued to grow.
Each time he looked at me, like, again, not a basketball expert, but it looked like every time BYU decided to like come out, it was like, oh, we'll just send Cliff on in there for a little little ghost screen action.
It was beautiful. It was the system working perfectly.
So a lot of fun on Saturday. One issue though for me. Alabama fans, you got to be a little better than this. A little better than this. Nate is great. Period. Stop. End. Wim Sanderson is great too. Sorry. Period. Stop. End.
I did see this morning.
Yeah.
I don't really understand it. I don't.
It's just the hatred for old people.
I guess.
It's just the disdain for your time wasn't. You know how your grandpa says, "Oh my, back in my day, this fellow was so good," and you think, "BS, grandpa, whatever." It's just that, and it's that's ignorance.
It's very strange. Like they're not mutually, like they don't have to be mutually, like you can, they can both be great. They can both have had great careers, and they have had both great careers. It's just strange to have to pick one and be like, well, he's the one. It's like, well, no, well, what Wimp did was awesome. They were one of the, I mean, they were a top program in college basketball. Like they were great. And what was it? Most sweet 16 appearances of anybody. And what Nate Oates, you know, obviously getting to the Final Four, getting to Elite Eights, you know, Nate Oates got them over that hump, but that doesn't discredit anything that Wimp Sanderson did. I don't know. It's such an odd.
It's not a one versus the other.
Yeah, it's a very odd just stance to take. Weird behavior. I don't get it.
Your daddy liked Derek McKee. Derek McKee was a good player, a really good player at Alabama. Like, so is Colin Sexton, so is Brandon Miller. Like, hello, we're all the same uniform.
I mean, because Brandon Miller came along, does Colin Sexton's career no longer exist at Alabama? What are we doing?
It's all the same color uniform. The design might be the same, but the word or might be different, but the words are the same. All right, Mason, you got anything else on this Hoops game before I do an ad read and then we shift gears just a little bit?
I did see this stat that just kind of just another thing to
throw in there.
Put it in, from OptiStats on Twitter. Tonight, Alabama men's basketball became the second team in NBA, WNBA, or Division I basketball history to have a player make 10 threes and have two others make five in the same game. The only other team that did it was the Warriors in 2022. Good company to be in.
Warriors, come out and play.
Also worth noting that Alabama had the same like split of 10-6-6, which is funny.
All right, so you got a controversy here.
Oh,
small controversy. And our friend Kevin Skarbinski keeps things straight.
Uh-oh.
Last night, you've got Alabama men's basketball account. And look, this is not hatred for them. I think that there's some context here that Kevin provides that needs to be. But all right, well, Alabama's men's basketball social media account tweets where legends are made with the graphic most wins, most NCAA tournament wins in program history with Nate Oates' face right there. Great. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, coach. This is not hatred on Nate Oates. But Kevin Skarbinski retweets and says, hold up. I know the NCAA vacated the two wins in 1987, but those games did happen on the scoreboard. Alabama won 12 games under Wimp Sanderson. So I think, Nate, you owe us one more.
I agree.
Yeah, the vacated wins or whatnot. Okay. Wimp at least had two more that weren't credited.
But they count.
Exactly.
Coach K tried to do this with vacating losses where he relegated the losses from a season to the like interim. It's like, you can't do that. Like, these losses are on your resume. These wins are on his resume. It's just like, I don't know. It's very dumb to nitpick like that. Yeah, I wish the Alabama basketball, and you know, I'm sure whoever made that post or was told to make that post.
I bet you I know who it is. Yeah, students.
Yes, they didn't even know like about the history. Oh, well, they had two wins vacated, so technically it's not. They didn't even know that.
The person making this graphic was probably not born in 1987.
Had no idea of that. However, I wish, you know, whoever had told them to make that post, because I'm sure it came down from someone.
Sure.
Had the foresight to think, well, maybe we wait until he even beats the vacated wins as well, and then it's like you can't even argue against it, because now, I mean, you know, you put that out and there's at least an argument, because as Kevin Skarbinski pointed out, those games did happen. Alabama did win those games. Just because the NCAA tries to say, well, they don't count, they still, 10 players got on the court and played against each other, you know. It's, you can't take that away.
Rough night for the for the SEC is overrated crowd. Alabama beats the number 3 team in the Big 12.
We read the SEC wrong.
Florida beats, where did Maryland finish? Second in the ACC, third in the ACC.
Yeah, tied for second, I believe.
And Arkansas, the 10th place team in the SEC, takes the second place team in the Big 12.
Should have beat them.
All the way to overtime. Up 6 with a minute 50. Coach Cal, how many times are you going to do this? Because obviously the big one always sticks out to me, 2008 Memphis, Kansas. You're up double digits late and Kansas fouls their way back into it and beats you for the title in overtime. Like, how many times are you going to do this?
Man, oh man.
If Nate Oates did not exist and they said, Joe, you get to pick Alabama's next basketball coach, we'll give you all the money in the world for John Calipari, I'll say no. I still say no. I will say no. I will take unknown Joker, Billy, whoever, for much less money and just take my chances. I don't give a rip that he's bringing in five stars. He's just going to irritate me. I'm going to see the talent on the floor. I'm going to see it not coming together in the regular season. And then I'm going to see a couple of good games. This is Calipari 101, yep. A game or two in the NCAA tournament. You're like, oh, he's got it together. And then a big heartbreak.
Just a collapse.
You could offer me all the money in the world to hire him, and I would say no.
It's tough scenes for Arkansas. You know, I would say I feel bad for their fans.
I don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad for their fans. You know, they make it pretty hard to feel bad for them on the internet. They're a very loud group.
All right. So tonight, Mason, before we flip for the basketball, because I do have a small football topic to get to. 6:09, Ole Miss, Memphis, Michigan State, 6:39. Tom Izzo, Michigan State. Yeah, you're probably right. Kentucky, Tennessee at 6:39. Oh, I'm here for it. Blood on the floor. I don't care whose blood it is. I am here for someone's blood is on the floor in the Midwest Regional tonight at Lucas Oil Stadium. Man. Which, by the way, the incident about you're dumb. You're extremely dumb for this. You put a basketball game. Look, we understand NCAA tournament, Final Four does go in a football stadium. It looks ugly. It's terrible, but whatever. We just do it.
Sure.
You do not put the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight in a football stadium and adjust the configuration of the stadium to make it. It looks like
an AAU tournament.
It's awful.
The picture I saw on Twitter last night of the guy sitting, I mean, a mile away from the court. Just like, easy there, ref. he was so far away. You zoom in on the picture and you had to zoom in so far to where everything was blurry before you could even see that that's an active game happening. Why are we doing this?
It's I don't know why. There are other good places in Indianapolis that you could host it. Hinkle Fieldhouse, isn't that in Indianapolis? Didn't they do the entire tournament at Hinkle Fieldhouse in COVID, a year or two? Yeah. Insane. So we're going to see some blood on a basketball floor in a football stadium tonight with Kentucky and Tennessee at 6:09. 8:39, your hate watch continues. I mean, really good night if you're an Alabama basketball fan and you're looking to hate watch some stuff. Yeah. Kentucky, Tennessee, you can pull for Black Hole. You can pull 8:39 Michigan and Auburn. You maybe Trey Donaldson gets his little revenge over the Auburn Tigers. And then at 9:09, Purdue and Houston. And it's like, Alabama's had run-ins with both of those teams. Not real rivals, but run-ins.
I think Houston's going.
Houston.
They're going to take it to them.
Houston is real.
Yeah.
Houston and Duke, Florida. Yeah, those are the real teams.
Florida let Maryland hang around a little longer than they should have. And I understand they ended up winning by like 12 or 15, whatever it was. But I watched, like the first half, and I don't know. They didn't overly, I get that it's just the first half. But I thought Florida was on that Duke level, but I don't know that they're necessarily. I think they might be right on the outside looking in on that Duke and Houston level.
So I'm taking tonight. God, am I taking all the favorites? I don't like that. That feels icky to me. I'm taking Michigan State, Tennessee. I will just not take all the favorites. I'm taking Michigan and then Houston.
I'm taking Kentucky.
You going State, Kentucky, Auburn, Michigan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me Auburn.
And then Houston.
Yep.
Okay, that's going to be all
a fun night, though.
The docket tonight, you guys can let us know. No voicemails from last night's game. That means I hate you. I'm just kidding. I don't hate you. I love you. But you can call the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you have a reaction to last night's game, if you want to talk about the Duke matchup, if you want to talk about these football players that we'll talk about here in just a moment, or anything else on your brain, you can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Let's tell everybody where we are. We're in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios, live off of McFarland Boulevard, just past the Tiger Rock on the left, right here in Northport. You can find us right there Monday through Fridays. You can call Derek Daniel and his team at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs, home, life, auto insurance needs. Look, the insurance game is not a fun one, so why don't you have them play it for you? Derek Daniel would love to play it. He's an expert at it, so I let him play it for me. We call him at 205-758-3391 for my home, life, and auto insurance needs. And if somebody runs into me on the road, I just give Derek a call, and he takes care of everything for me. 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much Derek can save you today.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
We're also live here over off McFarland Boulevard, presented by Warren Tire and Auto. They've been a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They're in their third generation of family ownership. Warren Tire and Auto is the go-to place for all of your automotive needs. They've got two great locations to get you in and out and back on the road, back into your real life. You can call them if you've got tire issues, tires, brakes, and alignment on 15th Street. Call them at 205-759-5505. If you've got other automotive needs, oil change, just a simple oil change, you want to do engine issues, transmission issues, you need a spark plug, something else going on, you can check them out at University Boulevard, 205-758-2739. We all hate car issues. I do, especially because I get really stressed out and I think, oh my gosh, I don't know anything about my car. And is this person going to mess me over? Warren Tire will put you at so much ease. They're going to say, this is what's wrong with it. This is what it costs. This is how much time it's going to take. And this is when we're going to get you back on the road. And they are reputable services. Right there, Warren Tire and Auto are a proud sponsor of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com. All right, Mason, let's talk about some football. Let's talk about some football. We were with Coach DeBoer yesterday.
Been hearing some rumblings about one Mr. Ty Simpson having quite the scrimmage.
Woohoo! The fireworks are going off in the Ty Simpson camp. We are celebrating a great victory, a great scrimmage victory over our rivals, Austin Mack and Keelan Russell. We'll send them some spoils of war just so they don't starve in their own camps. But yeah, first day, first scrimmage, a little success. What, a couple touchdown passes, reportedly, allegedly, one or two to Isaiah Horton. Okay, great. I think that's going to be an underrated ad for Alabama football this year. But I don't care. It's a spring scrimmage. Who cares? They're operating on like 102 level.
Yeah, there is so little information available about what is really going on there. You know, you don't even know.
They're not playing with a left tackle.
Yeah, you don't even know what the actual context of, well, he threw this many touchdowns. I don't know what these players are, you know, I don't know what this practice looks like. I don't know how hard I don't know. So I'm not super interested in buying a supposed practice report from spring practice, but you know, I guess Ty played well, more power to him. I'm still in the Austin Mack camp.
I'm telling you, it's not a competition.
That's okay.
Like, they are selling it as a competition.
It's okay. It's okay.
And if you read all the pundits, it's a competition. I don't think it is.
We'll see. We'll see.
And maybe I'm wrong, and I'm going to end up having an egg on my face in September or in early August. And when they say, oh, Austin Mack is our starting quarterback, or Keelan Russell is our starting quarterback, and I'm like, damn it. But maybe I just trust the people I've talked to too much. But yeah, I don't think that this is really a competition. I don't. I mean, of course, the coaching staff is telling Austin Mack and Keelan Russell that they're in contention. But I think this is all manipulated so much to where at the end of the day, it's like, oh, you were in it till the end, but Ty was always, Ty was always the guy.
We will see. It doesn't excite me. But hey, I haven't seen it. Maybe I just don't see it. Maybe I haven't seen it.
All right, so he talks about scrimmages yesterday. Yesterday being the first scrimmage of the day. I need to put those photos out. Check us out on the Bama Central or on Joe Gaither's show on Bama Central's Facebook channel. I will put all the photos from the scrimmage out on that here momentarily. I downloaded them all and I didn't put them out. Yesterday's scrimmage next week, and then he said scrimmage on the Thursday before A-Day. He poo-poos any thought of having a team come in. Now, obviously, the logistics of that are way too late. But he was like, if that were possible even this year, I don't think we'd do it, citing injuries. He cites injury concerns and rep concerns for A-Day, saying the reason we're going to practice and not doing a real game is so that we can control who gets how many reps, what those reps look like, and how valuable they are. I think fans are going to ultimately end up happier with the product that they get on A-Day than they would have been if it was a real football game. I think you're going to end up seeing more out of each of the quarterbacks because it's going to be more just rep-based. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, we're running. This is your play. Go 1, 2, 3. And you got a couple defensive sets and 1, 2, 3. And we just put the ball down and put the ball down and put the ball down and receivers roll out. I think the fans will ultimately end up happier with the product because they will see more of the player that they actually wanted to see. I mean, how many times have you gone to A-Day thinking, I want to see Billy X and he's the second stringer, but Billy X only gets 10 snaps and okay.
Cool, but
yeah, I think you're gonna end up happier with it.
I think so too. I like the switch. I always just never really understood the point of, hey, let's get out here and play full contact football with our own teammates and run a game. And I never really saw the value in it.
So I don't care about what's going on with spring practice. Other than that, the update yesterday, what else do we have here? Yeah, I sent you this list. And it's not horrible, but I just see two big-time omissions.
Two glaring omissions, yeah. And I don't – admittedly, it's hard to pick out who I'd replace them with. I think I know, but
– Yeah, I know. All right, so if you didn't listen to the show yesterday, that's okay. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. We teased this topic, top 10 greatest Alabama football players according to ChatGPT. Do you agree with these rankings? All right, 10-1. Amari Cooper, number 10. Number 9, John Alexander. Tua Tagovailoa, number 8. Number 7, Devontae Smith. Number 6, Julio Jones. Number 5, Ozzie Newsome. Number 4, John Hanna. Number 3, Mark Ingram. Number 2, Joe Namath. And number 1, Derek Thomas. Some of these comments are funny. Tua doesn't deserve to be on this list. I love Tua, but Tua can't hold A.J. McCarron's jockstrap. Wow, that's the choice. That's a choice.
Peculiar.
Here we go. Here's a handful. Good comment. Don Hudson, Kenny Stabler, Johnny Musso, Cornelius Bennett. Your list is terrible. Perhaps the worst. Oh, how about this? We'll go to a different AI. Gronk,
the Twitter, the X.
Elon's guy. Has it as number 1, Derek Thomas, 2, Joe Namath, 3, Derrick Henry. Okay, there we go. 4, Mark Ingram, 5, John Hanna. Oh, 6, Leroy Jordan wasn't on the last list. Yeah. God, terrible. Number 7, Ozzie Newsome, 8, Amari Cooper, 9, Don Hudson, and 10, Cornelius Bennett.
Still a glaring omission.
Do the Heisman Trophy winners have to be in there?
I think so.
All 4?
I think so. They were the only ones that were recognized as the best player in college football.
I mean, I think Derrick Henry has to be on the list.
Yes, Bryce Young has to be on the list. Bryce Young's the best quarterback that has ever worn a crimson jersey. Argue with your mama.
Yeah, I'll do dirty things for Bryce Young.
I mean, come the AJ McCarron crowd. You're dumb. You don't know football. Just because he won some titles does not mean he's a great quarterback. That is not a quarterback accomplishment. That is a team accomplishment.
Wins are not a quarterback statistic.
You put Bryce on those teams and good
God, do they look a million times better than they did under AJ McCarron.
AJ's just in my heart because he wept on the sidelines at LSU, was so overwhelmed with the moment that, you know, anybody that can wear their emotions on their sleeve, like, I love it. And then shoving Barrett Jones at the title game when they're up by like a million points, it's like, oh, that Crimson Flame burns everlasting in his heart.
Yeah, but ask him to throw a 60-yard bomb and it's going to peter out 30 yards down the field.
Whoa. How about Amari Cooper, 99 yards down the sidelines? Sure.
AJ McCarron is a third of the quarterback Bryce Young was.
I'll agree with it because I love Bryce. But AJ still.
This is my favorite comment also, by the way, under this.
Go for
I agree
it.
With the entire list, but Ingram, Van Tiffin should have been in his spot.
That was an impressive kick in 85. It was. pretty big old kick.
Johnny Bowen. No, sir, Johnny Bowen. That's not a correct opinion.
You don't think he's teasing, or you don't think he's trying to push some Tiffin motorhomes?
I'm looking at my boy Johnny Bowen here. I don't think he's kidding.
He's not teasing.
He is prime example of sitting in my F-150 black shades on photo from up here.
Hey, that they ran on to the field. Time expiring. No timeouts. We got to set up. What was it? 48.
Mark Ingram won a Heisman.
53-yard kick to win the Iron Bowl.
Mark Ingram won a Heisman Trophy.
Was that kick from 70 yards away? I think it was from 83.
That was a 150-yard kick. He kicked it from the parking lot. I remember it.
I was there.
He was sick. I called him. He kicked it from his house.
He rolled in from the Tiffin Motorhome all the way from, what are they, Muscle Shoals? Are they Muscle Shoals? I think so.
What are we talking about, people? You have to have the Heisman winners on there. They were recognized as the best player in college football.
All right, Derek Thomas is on here, yes, for me. Mark and John Hanna are on here. Is Joe Namath on here?
No.
I mean, how many times did Joe Namath get? I mean, Bear Bryant nearly ended his career because he couldn't follow curfew.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love Joe Namath. Love what he did. Love the whole Broadway Joe thing. But folk, come on, people. Like,
is it just the winning? Is it just because? I mean, hello, I'm going to show my age here.
If you're going to put Joe on here, he's definitely not two.
Led the team to 29-4 over three seasons. Bear Bryant called him the greatest athlete I ever coached. Okay, great. Let's see what the actual stats say, which are going to look ugly because of the time. Yeah. They're going to look terrible. 3 years, 2,700 yards passing, 25 touchdowns, all 19 interceptions. Do I have any rushing? Because I know he's a little runner.
519 picks.
565-19.
That's awful.
Got to protect the ball, Joe. Got to keep the ball.
How many picks did Bryce Young throw?
Three. He also ran for 563 yards. And do I have a touchdown right there? Right there. And 15 touchdowns. So great. My man has 40 touchdowns, 40 total touchdowns, 19 interceptions over the 3 years.
About 3,500 all-purpose yards.
Great.
Bryce Young threw for, what, 4,500 in his last season with almost 50 touchdowns?
Ended up, what does I have? Leaderboard responsible. He was number one in the SEC. Joe Namath, number one in the SEC in 1962 in passing yards.
With 1,100.
1,100. number one in passing touchdowns that year, 13.
And, like, I hate to play the eras game because obviously stats are so inflated now with just the way football's evolved, sure. But I think the 25-19 touchdown to interception ratio really kind of tells you all you need to know.
You're off the list.
You're off the list.
Get out of here. Okay, so
I don't know enough about Ozzie Newsome's career. I know he was great, obviously. Oh. I don't know the details, though. The actual, you know, I don't know what his stats were. So I know he belongs on the list, though.
Insane stats, insane stats. In Ozzie Newsome,
Does he belong higher than five?
Possibly. Okay. I think that could be a crime. In 4 years, from 1974 to 1977, again stats, 2,000 receiving yards. 2,000 receiving yards, 16 total touchdowns. He averaged 20 yards a catch.
That's pretty dang good.
44 games, 102 receptions. Yeah, right there. He also had 15 rushing yards. and then ended up being a pretty nice little player in the NFL. Cleveland Browns, I believe.
Brown, I know he was the GM for the Ravens for a long time too.
Yeah, 23rd overall.
A whole lot of Alabama players.
23rd overall selection in the 1978 draft, first round pick to the Cleveland Browns. I think the Ozzie Newsom.
Ozzie Newsom belongs on the list.
I'm there.
Julio Jones belongs on the list.
John Hanna, Julio Jones, Ozzie Newsom, Devontae Smith.
Smitty belongs on the list.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Does not belong on the list. Sorry, Tua. You were awesome, but we've seen better quarterbacks since you played.
That's fine. I'm with you. I'm just thinking. I'm assessing the map.
I'm popping Tua out.
So far, we've popped name without. You're popping Tua out.
And I'm replacing him right now with Bryce and Derrick Henry. Those are the two getting replaced. Or those two going in.
Man.
Sean Alexander. Sean Alexander was awesome, but.
Incredible. Incredible. In the late 90s. Mm-hmm. Great. What do you have?
What do you average? 40 touches a game? Like.
Doesn't he still have the Alabama single season record, single game record? Sean, Alabama rushing records. Alabama rushing records. I'm pretty sure he still has the single game rushing record. Let's see right there. Oh, wiki, passing, rushing. Yeah. Sean Alexander, he's still third overall in total career yards, 35-65. Single game, yeah, still has the career record for single game yards, 291. Against LSU in 1996. Single season, he is sixth with 1383 in 1999.
Yeah, I love you, Sean, but I think he's going to come off the list.
In favor of Najee Harris.
Maybe, but, I mean, we got to get some defense on the list. We have one.
Derek Thomas. Who would be?
Will Anderson?
Will Minka.
Minka? Yeah, golly. Pat Surtain? I know I'm being a little recency biased.
Antonio Langham.
Yeah, Antonio Langham. Golly.
We mentioned
Leroy Jordan. You mentioned him earlier.
Yeah, Leroy should be on here. I'm sorry.
All right,
Leroy.
It's a hard list. It's a tough list to make.
Leroy's got to be on there, though, because and maybe it's just the child in me reading books that just read about Bear Bryant calling him just like the baddest, meanest, terrible, just evil person.
My grandpa used to tell me about, Leroy Jordan, he was a heck of a player.
It was like, what's the British Empire joke? I don't know, but basically there's the same, you know, Leroy Jordan, we'll cover it, you know, sideline to sideline. the Leroy Jordan empire never ends or something.
He had one game in the NFL where he had like four picks in one game or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a great cowboy. He was an incredible cowboy. I think that he has to be on the list.
I'm bumping
Sean Alexander, and I might be bumping Amari.
That's what I was just about to say. I don't know that we necessarily have room for three wide receivers on this list.
Right. I'm with and Ozzie was kind of a fourth.
Yeah.
Tight end wide receiver type.
I don't know that Amari, you were amazing. Amazing.
Amari Cooper made Blake Sims look like a decent quarterback. Amari Cooper gave Blake Sims a semi-professional quarterback career.
Yeah. Yeah. He was awesome. But I think you might have to be bumped out to like 11 or 12 here. I don't know. I don't know. We got to get some other names in here.
I hate playing greatest of all time games.
It's so hard.
But this is why I hate it, because it's like, opinions and objectivity. All right, so those are the four. I'm keeping Derek Thomas. I'm going Derek Thomas, John Hanna. I'm going Derek Thomas, John Hanna, Leroy Jordan. We're going Derek Henry. Derek Henry four, Bryce five,
Smitty six,
Ozzie Newsom, Smitty seven. I didn't say Bryce. So Bryce for me. Mark Ingram four. So there's all my four Heismans, right? I said Bryce. I said Smitty. Yeah. So I have one more spot.
I think you got to go to a defensive player. I like Will Anderson.
Yeah,
I like
Will,
Minka.
Will's a good spot. So all right, Thomas, John Hanna, Leroy Jordan, Ozzie Newsome, Julio Jones, Devontae Smith, Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, Bryce Young, like
Jonathan Allen, Quinn Williams.
we're just playing the name game now. But anyways, my whole reason to bring this up.
AI sucks. It's so bad.
You didn't even consider Derrick Henry. Like, all you got to do is look at these Alabama record books. Derrick Henry, second in all-time rushing yards. First in a single season. Third for a single game.
I don't understand. Because, like, I know how, you know, we know how AI, you know, works. Like, on a, not on a detail, you know, micro level, but on a macro level, all it does is scour the internet and use every source at its, you know, fingertips available to compile a general list of things for what you ask it for. So I don't understand how it could have done that and not read hundreds of articles about Derrick Henry being one of the greatest players in the history of Alabama football.
I'm pretty sure our man Chris Walsh, he's got him as number one.
I think so.
In the Saban 250.
I don't understand. It's very strange. It's like it just will it intentionally chose to ignore Derrick Henry. Do you think that AI has baked in that nobody likes running backs and that's what it is? It was like, well, you know, we got to take into account positional value here.
I think what it just shows is how silly, yes, how silly it is. I think it can be good tools,
yeah,
but it can also, if you don't know what you're looking at, like, okay, you look at this list. If you just gave this to an 8-year-old Alabama fan, a 12-year-old Alabama fan, or I don't want to put sex or race into it, just make it a casual Alabama fan. Say it's your mother.
Yeah.
Great. Your mother gets this list, and she reads all 10 of them, and she goes, oh, I remember when Joe Namath was in school, and I remember John Hannah, and great. And she said, this list is perfect. Mm-hmm. And then you'll say, yeah, Mom, but don't you remember Derrick Henry? And she, oh, yeah.
That guy was pretty good. That's the problem. That's our issue exactly. It is
like it fools dumb, not dumb people, but not fully informed.
Yes, people that don't take the time to seek out the information themselves and actually look into like where that is getting it from, you're going to get bad information because it's going to mislead you in things. I told Joe right before we started recording, I was this morning decided to test it, just kind of see where we're at, and I asked it to tell me about the Duke Blue Devils. Tell me about the 2024 Duke Blue Devils basketball team. And it gave me some good stuff, you know, oh, these are the players that left from last year. These are the players they added. These are the veteran players, which is cool, all fine and dandy. And you go down to, it has a little key win section, very first one. Massive win over Kentucky. And I got to think, it gives me a little rundown. So-and-so had this many points. Cooper Flagg hit a big shot to win the game. No, that they lost that game. They lost to Kentucky. They did not win that game. Cooper Flagg did not hit a game-winning shot. It just completely made that information up. And I responded to it, Duke did not beat Kentucky. And it said, oh, my apologies, you're correct. Sorry for the mistake. It's like, if I did not know that game had happened, I would just think, you can't just be spreading this misinformation to people. Like, do not use AI to get your information. It's going to lead you bad. It's going to mislead you. It's going to put you onto bad information. It's going to make you think the wrong things about stuff. Do the research yourself because you will find out the correct answers that way.
Roy from Lake Gunnersville,
please. Roy, if you want to come on and we'll dive into some stats with you. I just need you to come up with them yourself.
Kentucky beat Duke 77-72. If you didn't watch that game and you just took the AI's little blah, 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 and just came to the show today, oh yeah, and Duke they beat Kentucky, yada yada yada, I probably wouldn't have even thought one thing about it.
Sure.
Oh, okay, sure.
But then that's exactly the issue.
Exactly.
It just continues to snowball from there. And then, oh, we got 50 people listening, and they all think that Duke beat Kentucky this year. And then they go tell their friends, well, Duke did beat Kentucky this year. And so on and so forth. Then you got a whole group of people that the outcome of a college basketball game they had the complete wrong conception of. I hate it. I hate AI.
I despise the information age that we're in right now.
And I hate so much the use of just the term as like a buzzword for useless crap that isn't even AI. It'll just like, I saw, you know, I work at Home Depot on Mondays. There's a new oven display. AI cooking tells you when your food's done. What does that mean? The instructions on the box
tell me when the food is done.
The timer that counts down, like, 10 to 9.
People? It's so dumb. It's just idiotic. Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, the information age that we're in right now and how easy it is to spin. Like, I was still fighting last night. BYU is a bad team. I was still fighting last night. BYU is such a... And I looked at, I said, they're 20-something in net. They're 15-something in AP poll. They're 20-something in KenPom. They're 20-something in... Oh, Bart Torvik had him at 12. I said, I don't care which metric you want to use. You can use any of them. It doesn't freaking matter. And then what I get is, well, you're biased, Joe. I don't make any of these sources. I do not vote in the AP poll.
You're not Mr. Ken Palm?
If I were Mr. Kenny Pomeroy, I would not be here. I would be sitting up on the highest of high horses in the world, telling you all about the game of basketball. But no, it's like, I'm not making these stats up. These are not Joe Cather's, tailored stats. But what happens is you get one loud voice talking about, well, BYU is not really that good. And all the other people that don't understand, that don't watch or don't know or don't listen are like, oh, yeah, BYU probably does stink, because they think little old BYU Cougars, and they didn't look over and see, oh, look, isn't Danny Ainge doing something with them? Isn't Danny Ainge their current general manager?
Something like that.
Or something in the advisor to the BYU program, some sort of and they are a.
I remember his name being tossed around with AJ DeBanza and things like that. Maybe he's doing something with the NIL.
They are a real big time basketball program. They imported a 6'8" Russian to play point guard, who played at Real Madrid. I'm sorry, wasn't that the league that Luka was playing in as a kid? I don't think he was playing for Real, was he? But he's playing
for, well, maybe, I don't remember.
But regardless, like, you're just telling on yourself. You're just, but it doesn't matter. People will just spout it as loud as it can. Wah, rah, 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 bad information, and other people buy bad information. And then it's, and like, brother, that is what drives me up the wall on social media about politics, about sports, about life, about anything. It's like, we cannot even agree that 2 + 2 = 4. AI tells me that 2 + 2 = 5, and so 2 + 2 = 5, and you are not doing the right math, because look, it says it right here on AI, 2 + 2 = 5, and I don't care what you said or how what your method is, 2 + 2 = 5, and so now it's 5, and everybody agrees now it's 5, and truth is now different.
I hate everything.
And then maybe you argue with that person, and you say, I'm going to take 2 tally marks on this page, and I'm going to put another 2 tally marks on this page, and then I'm going to add it up, and I'm going to say it's 4, and they're going to say, no, that's wrong. Your AI says 5. Mm-hmm. Your method is wrong. Your method is obviously biased. Your method is obviously tainted. You are obviously motivated to get 4 of your answer. 4 is the answer that you're getting paid to give us.
We live in a world where objective truth just no longer exists.
Oh, I hate it. It makes me, it drives me up the wall. The answer is 4.
We've got an existential on the Joe Gaither show today.
Yeah, exactly. The answer is 4. Don't use ChatGPT. Use it to start with, but go double check. Go find out.
If you want to use it, fine, but just check it, because you have to check it. It will give you bad information.
A lot of the time.
Yes. Like, it's fine. It's a nice tool to compile information. I understand. But then, when it compiles that information for you, use the links that it gives you and go seek out where it compiled it from. Don't just take what it gives you at face value, because it will misread things. It will give you bad information. Because I guarantee where it got that Duke beat Kentucky was from one sentence in an article that was like, oh, Duke played a great game against Kentucky tonight.
Somebody tweeted it.
Sure, something like that. It's
all right, dangerous. So let's get out of here for the day. We will... Oh, shoot. Okay. That's what we're doing. We're getting out of here for the day. I am going to be covering Alabama's softball series this weekend against the Georgia Bulldogs. I got tapped in for that. Great. Love it. Can't wait for that. So if you're looking for softball stuff in addition to the NCAA tournament, you can find that on my social media machines. We'll see if the girls can get their first SEC series victory this weekend over the Georgia Bulldogs. We're going to do all things Bama in just a moment. So make sure you subscribe to All Things Bama. Mason and I will talk deeply about the Duke Blue Devils. We're going to talk about this game, the Elite Eight matchup, how Alabama wins, how Alabama loses, this, that, and the other. We're going to do that on All Things Bama. So we're not going to do a Saturday episode. We'll just go ahead and record that. We'll record that all for All Things Bama. So subscribe to the All Things Bama podcast. Mason's leading that. It's the other podcast on the Bama Central Podcast Network. We'll talk about Duke on that show. We'll talk to you on Monday reacting to the Duke win or loss, Alabama win or loss, and we'll see if we're going to San Antonio or not. Next Tuesday, we're going to have the Alpha Alexander Lincoln coming back on the program to set up the April 5th show at Swan Gym.
I saw them put it out on Facebook this morning, I think, maybe last night.
Was it?
Bad Moon Rising?
Yes, yes. I know it's my Bad Moon Rising is going to be the name of the program. Oh, I like that. Get to cowboy hats.
You see that they also reposted our interview with the Misfit, okay, McKenzie.
Perfect. Very, very, very nice. We love that. And we love some new era wrestling. So we're going to have the Alpha Alexander Lincoln next Tuesday to set up Bad Moon Rising April 5th at Swan Gym in Jasper, Alabama. So that's kind of our weekend plan. Mason Woodson and I will talk all things Bama, talking Alabama and Duke. I'm going to go to Rhodes Stadium 3 times to watch Alabama softball. It's going to be great. I cannot wait for that. And then we will talk to you Monday about Alabama winning or losing against the Duke Blue Devils in the Elite Eight. We'll do that on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. You watch us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, the Bama Central Facebook channel, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.